KCKGO. NHWRO, KCKGO, Timmy Elker, I'm on 15. NHWRO, NHWRO, KCKGO, Timmy Elker, on DMR.
Well, Tom, apparently he's not out there, but I am. And this is that same radio, that link that I told you I was using. I could have even shown it to you last night, just to make sure all of our stuff was simplex together before we go do a little field test and playing around on Saturday.
Yeah, sorry about that. I forgot what we were talking about. I apologize. I didn't mean to cut you out of any conversation, you know that.
No big deal. I actually did just come over to you guys to say goodnight to be safe and drive home and stuff like that, because I needed to get home myself. But, yeah, had I known you were curious about it, but then again, you didn't know they existed until I told you today, so. But, yeah, when Tim and I go out and play, that's one of the ones I'm bringing out there to see if we can do some DMR simplex and stuff like that.
Yeah, I want to take a look at it and check it out online. You know, so if it's an Olinco DMR, like I said, my
I said on the other channel, this one, it's tri-bander. All right, so, you know, 2 meter, 1.25 meter and 70 centimeter, so it's DMR. It's got all that stuff going on for it. I just wish it had a detachable faceplate. If it had that, this thing would be the cat's pajamas.
Well, what's the total wattage on that one? Is that 50 on that Olinco?
I'd have to go look up the specs again. On VHF, it does 50 watts, something in that area. And on UHF, it's a little less. It's like 35 to 40. And the power output levels on this thing also has 4 steps instead of the usual 3 that we get. And I would have to look up exactly what the values of those are as well. But it gets down pretty low, as in my handheld low, if need be.
Interesting. And that's an Olinco tri-bander?
Yeah,
I'm going to have to look that up.
I'll shoot you a DM on Discord with a link to it to make it easier on you, all right? Give me a minute.
Copy that. I'll take a look at it when I get to my destination.
All right, that's cool. Right on the very top of the page, it says the max output on VHF for this is 55 watts and 40 watts for UHF, and then I'm going to have to go dig and see what the other 3 steps are.
Well, I had a quick second. I took a look at the picture. It's not a bad radio. Not a bad price either.
But not at all for, the non-APRS, non-GPS version. And its power output levels are, according to its spec sheet, 55 watts on VHF, 40 watts on UHF, and then the 3 steps below that are 25 watts, 10 watts, and 1 watt.
Does it have a roam feature or anything like that? Or I got to flip between the DMR sites, correct? Just like the 9600 QIT.
I do believe it does have that roaming feature. Give me a couple of hits, because the code plug for mine is so big it takes it a minute or two to load. I can pop open the software and double check the settings on that and make absolutely sure, but I'm pretty positive it has a roaming feature on it.
Yeah, I got your DM32 code plug, and that thing takes a bit to load into that radio.
Does, but I put a lot of information in there. I try to put in everything that I can think of that anybody might want. And so basically it would be for anyone else, it would be more a case of what do you want to take back out, besides also tinkering to customize for yourself. But yeah, I'm in the Olinco CPS right now, and yep, you can definitely set up roaming on this thing. Not entirely sure how it worked because I haven't done it, but it is definitely available. You might have landed in a dead spot or something like that. The last thing I heard you say was, I haven't messed with that just yet, and then you went.
Oh, sorry. No. For my 735, I have not messed with it since I put it upstairs, and I got to get a programming cable for it. I got the Olinco software, but I think I could program it to Chirp, too, but I'm not too sure.
I don't know if this one is Chirp compatible or not. One of the neat things about this one is that the USB interface for it, for programming it, is built into the radio itself. And the only thing you need is a bog standard USB-A to USB micro cable. That's it. That's all you need. So basically, if your cable breaks, you can go into any gas station and get a replacement to program your radio.
Oh, that works. Huh, might be something. Oh, look, an Amazon drone. Yeah, I'm going to have to check into that.
An Amazon drone flying by you?
Yeah, I thought I saw something going down into the trees, and I just happened to look up, and it just took off, and it's going back to the Pontiac site. It's a big drone.
I remember when they started testing and stuff like that, and there were enough people complaining about it here on the stateside that they actually went up into Canada in the wild areas to where they could test it, because Canada would let them do it.
Imagine ordering a refrigerator and having it delivered by drone from Amazon.
That'd be funny. Yeah, comical concept, definitely, yes. But speaking as an RC pilot myself, I don't want Amazon darkening the sky with those things, because they're already big, and RC aircraft are dangerous toys. All right, you do not want to get hit with one of them. Because if that propeller is turning at its, you know, tens of thousands of RPMs to make that thing fly, and that's the thing that hits you, you're going to lose body parts.
Yeah, do you fly copters, or do you fly regular aircraft?
I try to fly helicopters. I'm not very confident, and I'm not very good at it, and I count myself lucky if I can get the thing to fly in a 100-foot circle. But Anna and I both fly regular planes in various sizes, from the little micros up there, 18 to 20 to 20 spans, up to what they consider large or medium size. You know, we're talking 5 to 6 foot wing spans. And, like, just about everything in between. Between her and I, we own somewhere around 75 different model aircraft.
Well, there you go. I got a drone. You know, it's just under the weight that I don't need a little sticker on it saying what the tail number is. And I fly that around, you know. It's got GPS on it, because if it didn't, I'd crash it. Has all take off, auto land kind of thing.
It's the AF. Yeah, I hear you on that one. Anna also flies the, what you call a drone. It's actually a quad rotor helicopter. They're really stable. That's one of the reasons people like it. It's only a drone if you can program it to fly a course all by itself with no intervention in your part. But, yeah, you can keep calling it a drone because I know what you mean. And yeah, they're fairly easy to fly. The GPS features are definitely very, very nice. I have one airplane that has that feature on it. And basically, when I initialize it and I tell it where the airfield is, it won't fly away from me. If it goes outside its GPS fence, it returns to the home point and orbits until you take it out of that mode and put it back into manual flying mode. So you can't lose it, and you can't crater it.
Oh, yeah, that's why I call it a drone, because it has the GPS capabilities. If it gets out of range, it comes back to me. If the battery gets low, it automatically lands and has the following feature, so I can drive and it follows me.
Definitely qualifies it as a drone. It can function entirely on its own with no help other than the initial programming.
Yeah, I can put waypoints into it and tell it to take off, and then it goes to that waypoint, does what I want it to do, and it comes back. It's about, I don't know, $300 drone.
That's not a bad price, considering that you can, you can spend $2,000 to $3,000 on some of those DJI models out there.
Yeah, I got a smartphone, an old smartphone that I use for the screen, and I can touch on the screen, too, and tell it where to go. Takes pictures, video, got the chip in it. You know, so I pick it up every so often and then just, you know, mess around with it. It has a height level of about 400 feet. I got it set for 100 so I can see it, but it does go up further.
We could use that thing for ARF, since you've got video and stills on it, stuff like that. Change the altitude to about maybe up to 200, because you'd still be able to see it at that point, although it might be difficult. And, you do aerial surveillance of a site, any site that we were working if need be.
Oh, that's a thought. Yeah, I think sport mode or professional mode, it goes up to 400 feet. I mean, I'm not going to do tricks with it or anything. I don't mean that. But definitely I got to charge it up, pull it out, you know, pull it out, charge it up, and mess around with it again. I haven't touched it for about a year. I hear you on that. And then I haven't been to the field actually really doing any flying out at our club field in a few years. We just go across the street to the park and take a look at the micros every now and then, like once or twice a year. Things really went to crapper thanks to the pandemic. Tell me about it. You know, I got, like I said, I got it a couple years ago at a Christmas party. I won it. And I played with it for a bit on a decent day. But, you know, I can't fly it off on my street because of the telephone wires and everything else like that coming across and the power lines. And I fly it in my backyard and my dog eats it. So I've got to find a place to spin it up and get it up back in the air.
I hear that. I live across the street from an elementary school. And then the strip of land, because it runs from the front of the elementary school all the way up to Metro Parkway. That strip of land is occupied at the south end by the school. Then their middle section is a township park, which has a couple of ball fields, which gives us enough room to play with the small stuff. And then the remaining chunk of that land belongs to whatever church that is up there on Nunnally that has that. So, yeah, if you can find yourself a ball field somewhere that nobody's using, that's not busy, you can go there and give yourself a little bit more room to work.
Let's check that out. All right, I'm at my destination.
Gabriel, don't work there, Tom. 73 to see you. NACAF, clear and monitoring.
W-A-R-I-T.
W-A-R-I-T. This is NACAF. I see you've got your correct MRID broadcasting now.
Yes, anyway, Cliff, yeah, I do have it corrected, and also in the software. Hey, let me ask you a question, since you created a code book. I primarily bought this radio, as you know, the DM32. I primarily bought it specifically for DMR. So I'd like to know, would that affect anything in your code plug if I were to basically delete all of the analog frequencies and maybe shift the digital ones up to, like, you know, channel one in CBS software? I just want to know if I would do anything with getting everything out of filter or anything like that, or if everything would work smoothly. Because eventually, once I get the amateur radio side down here, so I could transmit properly, make progress, I'm also kind of a scanner radio listener, so I was also doing it so I could plug in, not to transmit, but only for reception, some of the business band DMR repeaters and that, just to be able to listen to that. So the question basically is just, would I be able to delete from your code plug all of the analog frequencies and shift them up? I still keep a copy of it because it's kind of nice to have those handy. But I've got non-DMR radios that I would use for the analog purposes.
You can absolutely do that. You can customize that thing any way that you want now that you've got it. Like you said, good idea to keep the original. You know, don't get rid of that. But the only thing that you have to watch out for is when you start dumping channels, you also have to go through the zone list and, you know, remove any zones and move channels around and things like that there as well. That would be the thing that you would have to do that, because like a lot of these radios are that have zones in them, you can't even access the channel unless it's been assigned to a zone. And when you start dumping the channels already, it's going to change the zone assignments as the channels disappear. So that would be the only thing you would have to do, is once you have the channels all set up the way you want, then you would have to go back through and reassign them to zones and make sure that they're assigned properly that way. That would be the only thing you would have to do. It would might take you a little while to do it, but you can absolutely do that.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I figure I'll get around to that sometime, but priorities first. I want to be able to make sure I'm doing everything properly here. So I wasn't aware that I was using the wrong DMR ID, so I'm kind of glad somebody had notified me about that. Because I'm kind of using the reference a little bit for the Radio ID website there. And just to check it, and seemed like I was doing that fine as far as I could tell, but I guess I wasn't. So. And then when I was talking with you yesterday afternoon to correct this part, I discovered what I did not do. Normally, it seems like the menus, you just, you know, go and enter your, like, radio ID, and then you click OK, and then you back out of it, and then it's stored. I didn't see that. There was a menu option for the radio ID specifically that says save. So once I saw that, I'm like, oh, geez, old Pete.
Whoops. It's all right. All of us make mistakes. I know I've made my share. I've tried to answer a call on the wrong radio or on the wrong band, and people come back, what are you talking about? And it says, it happens. It happens. We all make mistakes. We all learn from them, and that's one of the things about this hobby. It's one of the reasons we do it.
Yep, screw that. Well, I figure once I get this situated, I'm going to see about working a little bit more on some of the other, it seems like there's a unofficial, I guess I'm going to put it this way, unofficial semen repeaters, like the ones that do carry the talk group, but in the, I guess, the Brandmeister flavor, I guess maybe I'm going to put it. For example, like the, I guess they're supposed to be the WACMC repeater, so I'll start putting some of those in, but I'll have to change the talk groups on those. That's something else maybe you can enlighten me on. When I'm going, you know, plugging in various other non-semen repeaters, let's see, how was I going to say here? I was trying to see how I was going to word the question here as far as entering those frequencies, and as far as maybe in by zones, would you do something like, you know, I think there's two WHCMC repeaters. There's one in Detroit over by the Lodge, and then there's one in listed in Sterling Heights. So would you put those two in the same zone?
Absolutely, if you wanted to. Like I said, channels are not available for you to use until they're in a zone. But one of the advantages of the zone feature is that you can organize groups of channels that you use in certain ways. So if you wanted to have just those two repeaters in its own zone, you can absolutely do that. And then basically you just flip over to the zone, and the only channels that are in there that you can get to where your channel selector would be those. And it means, you know, you wouldn't accidentally turn to something that you didn't want to be talked on or something like that. Yeah, you can break it down any way you want.
Okay, the other thing I wanted to ask is, it's kind of hard for me because when I get to writing, I am very verbose. So when I'm trying to create something like what I looked at for your channel tags, the alphanumeric, it seems like you're putting the, like for MI5, the repeater location, Mount Clemens, Detroit, whatever, and also then the talk group. So is that how you would suggest I label all of my channels so that way I would do it kind of the same format with those three pieces of information?
That is actually entirely up to you. The whole point of being able to organize it how you want is to organize it in a way that works for you, that makes it easy for you to operate the radio. The reason I set things up the way I did is that anybody looking at it, because, you know, it's out there for the whole world, anybody looking at it would at least have an idea of where they were. Yeah, so basically I picked a naming convention of network, location for the repeater, and finally to actual talk group slash channel, whatever you want to call it, that you are on. So that's why, for example, it says MI5-NTC-SW1. So that you know you're on the MI5 network, you're talking to the Mount Clemens repeater, and you are on statewide 1, which is talk group 51.
Yeah, even though that's kind of shorthand, that is making much more sense to me, I guess, than how I was trying to create my channel tags, because I was trying to get, you know, the call sign and then the text of the talk group ID. Sometimes I was just running out of characters and trying to create different acronyms or abbreviations, and that wasn't really helping out a whole lot there either. So I'm just trying to see if I can figure out, you know, the best way for strategies and setting it up and all that. So I'll be working on some of the others there too in the near future. But like I say, just making sure I get one thing going at a time before I bite off more than I can chew. Well, Cliff, do you participate with any other, you know, digital modes here on VHF, UHF, you know, System Fusion or D-Star?
I do not. I am retired. I am on a fixed income, so buying these expensive toys. Basically, the reason I went with DMR, the reason I went with DMR is it's the one that seems to be the most widely adopted out of all of them. I'm not speaking against any of the quality of any of them or anything like that. I just went for the one that gave me the most room and that the most people were using. That's really the only reason. And it's also the reason I'm not getting any of the other stuff because, again, expensive, and I can only pick up a thing or two here and there, like, once a month. So I went with basically the most widely used one to give myself the most capability.
And W8RIT. Okay, very good. Yeah, I was just kind of curious because, let's see, I'm kind of new to the digital modes aspect of it, but I had kind of come to, I don't know how, that don't really have any facts or evidence, but I kind of came to the assumption that it seemed to me that System Fusion seemed to be like the popular and predominant mode here in the area, but let's see, I don't really know how I came to that conclusion quite.
I got negative bonk there. Interesting. Yeah, I can understand that. System Fusion, I think it's also called C4FM, is a really solid and reliable protocol, I think they call it, to use. But also there's some bad things about it where it's a bit more power intensive, things like that, I think. So, now again, it's your call because C4FM is basically just a Yaesu thing, if I remember correctly, and there's a couple others out there that are kind of specific to the brands, although there's some interoperability on other ones. Like, you know, a lot of the people that I talk to around here are big fans of P25. Apparently that standard's a bit more open. So, now again, it's entirely your call. What do you want to do? What do you want to play with? You know, where do you want to go? It's all up to you. You can do any of it that you like. You know, I just stick with the DMR because, like you said, it seems to be the most widely spread one here in Michigan. You know, CMN has the huge MI5 network, and a lot of people are huge Motorola radio fans, you know, their mobiles and their handhelds, and those are all DMR Tier 1 and Tier 2. And all of my stuff, we'll talk to all of theirs.
Yeah, that was kind of one of the points that I kind of held off getting into it was it was a little bit of a negative aspect that I viewed that there were, you know, System Fusion was done by Yaesu and D-Star by ICOM and I think also Kenwood. So that's one thing I don't really quite like. It's not really that there's great interoperability, you know, so that they don't all merge, I guess, so to speak. So it's going to be something I'm going to do. I'm going to try to buy a radio for every one of the modes eventually. But I'm kind of tossing around the idea of heading down to Dayton this upcoming year. I haven't been to the new location. Always been to Hera Arena. But I'm kind of tossing around the idea of picking up a Yaesu System Fusion radio. Just playing with some ideas. I'm not even really certain. Same thing, too. I've kind of been just window shopping, toying with the idea of getting maybe a SDR transceiver, like a Flex radio or something, but haven't even really looked. I gotta, you know, take a look at their website and see what they have available and all that. So, I'm gonna ask you another question for Macomb County. Do you guys still do the hospital nets?
What we are doing with the hospital nets is we are trying to rebuild what we had in the past. The parts was big for a while, and then it kind of, you know, settled down, faded out in the background kind of thing. And now it is definitely making a comeback. And we've got at least one location interested in letting us set up at their hospital because of an issue they had 2 years ago. But, so the hospital nets aren't back up completely and running yet, but we're definitely working on it. As a matter of fact, couple, three of the guys from our salon, myself, this Saturday at 2 o'clock, we're going to be out there testing some simplex operations across some pretty good distances for both digital and analog, just to see if we absolutely can function without even the repeater network.
Okay, very interesting. Glad to hear that. It's kind of getting back into the swing of things here with ham radio, but
years past, I'm trying to think how long ago, but I was the assistant DEC for District 2 under, I don't know if you remember, John, K-8-U-P, but I was also helping with Bill, W-8-W-R-B, who are both now Silent Keys, and he had started off with doing the HERN for the hospitals and that, getting them all set up. So that sounds pretty good, though. Yeah, see about the simplex communications. With that, see, I think they collected. I just used to live in St. Clair County, so I think I heard last that they had collected the radios. From, they were sitting in the three hospitals there in St. Clair County, so at least they know where they're at. I think a few of them were just getting moved around to other locations nearby, so they wanted to kind of confirm that, yes, we have possession of them. So I don't know how active they are either, too. I was thinking about taking, you know, some time to see some of my old friends out there, too, and see how they're doing. Anyways, back to you, Cliff. I'm probably going to bail because I'm probably not going to be too far from my work location and be pulling in soon. But I do want to say, I heard you talk with Tom earlier. I was going to tell him thanks, but I just wanted to express some gratitude to you for the help and for the code plug that you've provided. So just want to say thank you on that. So anyway, Cliff, I'll listen up for your final. You have a great day and weekend. 7-3 for now from W8RIT.
I need to get going myself, Dave. I once again spent way too much time out here, and I'm getting a little behind clockwise, and that's all right. It's not a disaster, not yet, anyways. But try not to work too hard, all right? And I'll also say 73 to you as well. And I'm probably going to be off this thing, actually, because I got stuff I got to go do. So with that, have yourself a good day. You be safe out there. And, yes, we will talk again soon. This is November 8th, Charlie Alpha Foxtrot. Clear.
K-8-TMR.
K-8-BCW, Harbor Springs.
K-8-BCW, this is N6WY on Statewide 1. Are you still there?
Yeah, good afternoon, David. Just about ready to go grab some lunch, but I'll be here for a minute or two. How are you doing?
Well, I'm about like you. I'm getting ready to go down and get breakfast. I do my morning exercise, and and I come up and take my blood pressure, and I was just starting taking my blood pressure, and I heard you call, and I said, well, maybe he's still here after I log my numbers in and everything, and now I'm going to go back downstairs for breakfast.
Yeah, good. Power back up for the day.
Good attention, and I am hungry. So I'm going to say 73s, but I wrote a listen for your final. The sun's trying to poke through here today. We had a little bit of rain this morning. But it promises to be a nice day here, about 61. So I will talk to you later. This is N6WY, listening up.
Yeah, that sounds great. We're not going to be quite so warm up here, but we'll take a little bit of partial sun that we're getting in the 40-some degree temp, so it's all good. Have a great day, and I'm sure we'll talk to you another time. K-8-BCW.
73s and 6WI is clear.
W-8-E-A-T.
K-F-8-G-B-H. I'll be monitoring for a bit.
K-8-TMR monitoring.
KF8GVH, I heard you monitoring. Can you hear me?
Yeah, copy. Was that KF8GVH? This is K8TMR.
Kilo Foxtrot 8, Golf Bravo Hotel. I just got my license on Tuesday, and I'm trying to figure out the DMR on my HD here.
Yeah, copy that. Actually, had my license for about a year now, almost. Just got a DMR radio maybe a week or so ago. was working on the code plug and programming it. This is the first time I'm reaching out on the MI5 network. Just kind of wanted to make sure it was working and make sure my name and call sign and everything was coming across.
Yeah, it looks good to me on my end. Again, my first time was yesterday, and I just did a lot of the programming by myself, trying to type it into the computer best I could rather than taking a code plug pre-made, and I just kind of wanted to figure out the inner workings of it. So seems to be okay on the MIA5 so far, but I haven't been able to connect to any of the other networks like the repeater and Moline, so I haven't been able to get into any of Brandmeister talk groups or anything like that.
Yeah, we're basically in a similar situation. That's kind of what I did. Instead of taking an already pre-made code plug, I kind of wanted to get to know the inner workings, the ins and out, and kind of started from scratch and built my own. It was quite an intense project. There's a lot of things going on, but I think I got it pretty good. I ended up setting up a hotspot also, so I was able to connect to that and talking like the North America group and worldwide and all that. So, and then like I said, I programmed my MI5 in there. Been working on that the last couple of days and got that in, and this is the first time reaching out, and glad to hear it's working good. My name is Phil, by the way. That's Papa Hotel India Lima.
My name is Ryan, R-Y-A-N. Can't remember the phonetics of that, but are you talking to a hotspot now, or are you catching a repeater? I guess I'm not sure your location.
Currently, I'm at connected to the looks like Burnside repeater, but I am located in Elmont, so like right around I-69 and M-53 area.
Your town came through, but I didn't know where that is. I'm in Grand Rapids area, just northeast of Grand Rapids, and I'm hitting the Grand Rapids MI5 repeater from my place in Rockford here, but just on a little HD with 5 watts, so I'm happy about that so far.
Yeah, I'm kind of over by, south of the Thumb area, probably about 40 minutes or so, 50 minutes from north of Detroit. I'm on a HD also, and that's all I have so far. And like I said, I've just kind of got into the DMR. This is kind of first experience with it, so kind of dabbling and learning as I go. But yeah, you're coming in good on the. You said you're over by Grand Rapids area.
I'm hitting the Grand Rapids repeater. I think it's about 9-ish miles from my place where I am right now. I'm outside, so I'm sitting on my porch, nice and sunny today. But do you have any other network repeaters near you that you've tried, or have you only used your hotspot?
So for DMR and the digital modes, I only have a DMR and just using the hotspot and then the local repeaters. But on the analog side, there's a few repeaters around here that I use.
W-A-E-A-P.
I was referring to the other DMR networks besides the MI5.
Just wanted to jump in there and say you gentlemen both sound good. You both sound the same volume. You got your audio set up good. Just wanted to let you know. Phil, I think you're friends with Dakota's. I see your All-Star node, your Mesh-tastics node. You're the most farthest north Mesh-tastics node I see on my map. I'm over here, got Eric over here in Shelby Township. But I just wanted to jump in there real quick and say both of you guys sound great.
I don't know what kind of radios you guys got, but they're sounding good. The audio is adjusted good.
Oh, thanks, Eric. Yeah, I actually, I'm on now. I actually bought it off Dakota. It was the Anytone 878. He was getting rid of it, and I figured I'd give it a try in the DMR. And you are correct. I am the Phil with the mess tastic nose out there, and I want. We actually do have one more, a little more north in Imlay City, but he, for some reason his doesn't show up on the map. So trying to get his situated, but it's doing pretty good, better than it was a few years ago when we first got into it. We're able to reach a lot further, but I appreciate the feedback on the sound quality and everything on the DMR. Like I was telling Ryan, I just set this up and wasn't 100% sure I did it all correctly, and figured I'd jump on and either have someone correct me or figure out if it's working or not.
Very good, very good. Yeah, those are good radios. Ryan, what are you running over there? Either one of you guys are showing up. Your call signs are showing up. That's just because I haven't updated my my DMR ID contact list in this radio in a while. But Ryan, I know you're way over on the west side of the state there. What radio do you have? Oops, I think I doubled with you. I just asked Ryan what radio he has. It sounds good.
About that, I have a BTEC DA-7X2. It's an Anytone internals, but with BTEC firmware. I also said I have a Intimestastic too, so I've got a T1000E tracker that I carry around with me.
Right, yeah, okay. Both good radios. There's a lot of the Bofang DM32s out here, which sound really good. I'm really impressed with those radios. I have a Redivis RT3S. I'm sure you've heard of those. I got a DM1701, DYT MD9600. You guys sound good. You guys sound almost like you're talking on the same radio, which is pretty rare to hear two people that sound almost exactly the same. But, I just got into Meshtastic. I'm a friend of Dakota's, and a friend of ours named Dave has about 10 of them, so he gave me one. A little handheld one. I'm not even sure what I don't have it memorized where it is, but sitting in my windowsill here. So I'm kind of new to Meshtastic.
Yeah, I think it was that Dave, K8FS or something like that. I think he's the one who kind of was talking to Dakota getting back into it, and then I was bugging him and trying to tell him it. So, you know, it's something to play around with over the winter time, and I kept telling him. He's like, oh, I'm done with it. I'm like, yeah, it's actually not as bad as it was back then. There's a lot more connected, and I tried throwing up a few down the Van Dyke corridor, and it seems to be reaching out pretty good. I'd still like to get a couple more. I'm waiting for the weather to get nicer, but, you know, with this weather, it's hit or miss now. It's either too windy to go up anywhere or cold, but once it breaks, hopefully we'll have a little better connection going on there. Over to you, Ryan.
Thank you. In northeast Grand Rapids here, we have a pretty good network. I see quite a few nodes just for my little tracker. I've tried to put up a couple of Heltec V4s, but just I haven't, again, you said the weather's been kind of crummy, and I don't have enough solar to keep them running. So that's a spring summer project for me, I think. I'd like to get some elevated a little bit more.
I think it's my turn here. Yeah, I have a Heltec T114. It's called the Heltec Mesh Node T114. It's got like a little 3,000 or maybe to 1,000. It's got a pretty decent battery, and it'll last a few days without charging it. It's pretty good around here.
I have a neighbor that's got a base unit. When he has his turned on, I could get, you know, maybe 50 connections, but when he shuts his base off, it, like, kills all my connections. It's like I'm using him. He's like one of the hops I need to get outside of this area. Outside of this area. I think he's about a mile from me, but he's providing the necessary hop I need.
Yeah, that's kind of how I think it's at Pine Tree Acres. I don't know if you can see that from your node or not, but that was the nice big one that kind of opened everything up. And then I have another one that's I think it's a PRS1 that I got up probably about 80 feet, and that connects the Pine Tree pretty good. So between those two, it kind of opens up the communication from, you know, more the northern end, but still a work in progress. You know, it's something on the cheaper end to play with. And then, like I said, after that, I kind of was looking at the VMR stuff and kind of got into that and trying to figure that all out, but it's fun. You know, it's enjoyable to keep learning and figuring all this stuff out. But on that note, I just ran into the UPS store, get to drop off some Amazon returns. I'm actually almost back home, so I am going to step out. It was nice talking to you, Ryan. Nice talking to you, Eric. I'm sure we'll talk again. And this is K8T Hunter.
Okay, catch you later. Have a good one. And my note is called, hold on one second here. Dave set it up for me. I am, hold on a second. Okay, I am ETFR. The short name is EPFR. I guess that's my initials and FUBAR radio.
And I copy that, EPFR, and once I get home, I'll see if I can look you up, and I'll see if I can send you a message. So it was nice talking to you guys, and I'm sure we'll talk again. So this is K8TMR. I'll be clear after you guys final.
Okay, catch you later. I do see a PRS2, though. I think you said it was PRS1. I do see a PRS2. All right, 73W8EAP.
Okay, I guess I'm out. Nice talking with both of you, Eric and Phil. This is KF8GBH, and I'm out for now. I'll probably be monitoring for a little bit.
WRO, WRO, KCKJO, get me out there on DMR.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, what time is the facility?
Well, it's somewhat flexible, but we wanted to try to be on site by about 2 p.m., so we'd have to, you know, get organized before then, like 1:30-ish down here maybe.
Okay, sounds good. I think I might be doing a breakfast thing with WAPD, but we'll see how that goes. But 1:30 sounds good down at your KTH, and then we can go from there.
Yeah, it's about 50% recreation and 50% doing the testing. So if something comes up, don't worry about it, Tom. It's, you know, we got it covered. Just doing a little bit of, I guess you'd call it range testing, that's all.
Yep.
Talk further tomorrow. N8WRO clear. After you.
K8BCW.
Yes, station calling. This is W8EIJ. Waterford Township.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you today?
Yeah, doing good. I had the radio and scan running to pick you up. I don't have you in my radio, the ID, but it shows your DMR number. Name is Greg, Golf Romeo Echo Golf, located in the southwest corner of Waterford Township.
Hey, Greg, name here is Bentley, Kilo 8, Bravo Charlie Whiskey. I'm in Harbor Springs, furthest north, about almost the furthest north that the system covers.
Okay, did you say your name is Bentley? Is that correct? Did I get that right? I didn't get your call because I was trying to write down, and I'm not that quick.
Like the car? Trying again here. Yeah, first name is Bentley, just like the car.
call sign is Kilo 8, Bravo Charlie Whiskey.
Okay, Kilo 8, Bravo Charlie Whiskey, right, I got your name. Oh, nice to meet you. Did you say Harbor Springs?
Yeah, correct, Harbor Springs, just on the other side of the bay from Petoskey.
Yeah, it's a nice area. I haven't been up there in a long time, but I really like that area. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's beautiful up here. We've definitely had our challenges this winter. We're finally getting dug out from the big storm we had last weekend, dumped over 3 feet of snow on us in 24 hours.
I've been following that, though. We had 70 degrees down here in Waterford. I'm just west of Pontiac, Michigan, in about 35 miles northwest of Detroit. I think we finally hit 70 degrees today, maybe a little bit less, but it sure was appreciated. I went out there in just a long-sleeve shirt just to catch some of that sunlight, and boy, I tell you, that was really great. Makes you forget about the miserable cold that we had, at least not here. We had it for a while. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, that's nice. You guys had almost 70 degrees. We got up to 45 up here today. And that was quite welcome. We had a little bit of sunshine here and there, but we actually get a fair amount of sun during the winter months. There's a little bit less cloudy days up here than there are downstate, so that's at least nice. As long as you have something to do with the snow, like a ski or snowmobile or snowshoe or things like that, winter can be tolerable, but if you just sit in your living room looking out the window waiting for winter to be over, it can be a pretty long season.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, Bentley. You nailed it. It would be a long season. There's not a problem down here. I get a lot of walking. Even when we had snow down here, I continued to walk. And even when it was really cold down here, I put on my gear and went for a walk, get some fresh air. I don't think I would appreciate that. I'd have to have something to do up there, that's for sure. And you can get yourself in a problem. I mean, it's nice up there, but you got to have something to do, especially when you get that snow. Otherwise, you're gonna have a difficulty.
Yeah, for sure. I moved up here 30 years ago from the Grand Rapids area, and again, you know, the nice thing is you get snow, it stays. And you can do something with it. You can go cross-country skiing. You can go snowshoeing. You got ski resorts. If you are a motorhead type, you can snowmobile. And I just remember, you know, being a kid growing up in Grand Rapids, we used to have a lot of snow. But later on, as an adult down there, it seemed like it would snow and then melt out, and then you wouldn't be able to do anything with the snow, and you'd be left with just a lot of, you know, brown mud. So that was difficult. So I enjoyed living up here for the past 30 years and enjoying all the seasons to the fullest. By the way, Greg, your transmissions are getting clipped at the end. I don't know if you're a little bit fast on letting the PTT go or if there's something else going on with your radio, but about the last half of your last word gets clipped off, it sounds like.
Yeah, okay, maybe I went off the mic or something. I don't know. I'm receiving the repeater pretty good, so I don't know what's going on. It could be something in the system. I don't think it's my radio. But, since you've been up there 30 years, I'm wondering, did you work up there? You probably had employment up there. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, I'm gainfully employed. My company moved me up here back in the day. I actually have a coworker that lives in Waterford. I work for DTE Energy. And I'm on the gas side of the business, but we're all over the state, and this was just one of the opportunities that came up back in the day, and my intention was to move up here for about 2 years and then move back to Grand Rapids, and here I am 30 years later.
Yeah, very good. I retired. I've been retired since 2007, I think. Worked for Ford Motor Company. But I'm not collecting dust. I'm staying busy. Pretty good shape, too. Considering my age. Starting to feel my age. I got some things I got to get taken care of here in July. And other than that, I'm doing good for my age. And I got a lot of grandchildren, and I got a good wife and a home that's paid for. Go ahead.
Oh, outstanding. That's great. I'm looking forward to retirement myself in a few years. I've got 36 already under my belt. I just got hired way too young. By the way, you are coming into that repeater great. You sound like you're in the room right next to me, so no worries there.
Yeah, thanks, Bentley. I think I was just releasing the PCT here too soon. And I'm looking at a website. I'm looking at the All-Star League for the MI1 WHC and then UHF hub. It's going to come in convenient. It's going to be convenient for me because I just got connected to All-Star through my phone, so I'm going to start plugging all these things in so I can hop around. Okay, listen, Bentley, I'm going to let you go. I got to get ready here to get some dinner here, so I heard you throw your call out, and I'm glad that I had an opportunity to chat with you. I don't normally get on this repeater, and when I do, there's not a lot of traffic on there, but I appreciate you coming back to me, so maybe we'll catch you another time and continue this queue. So, yeah, you still got a few years to retire. Enjoy your work, you know, because you're going to have to, I'm sure you already have a plan in place. You can do fine. You probably hunt up there, I would think. I would live up there. Okay, BCW, WVIJ, 73, Bentley, I'll listen up.
Yeah, great meeting you, Greg. Have a great evening, and sounds like you're doing retirement right. That's outstanding. And yes, I do hunt and fully take advantage of all of the recreational opportunities up here, and especially those that are only about 45 minutes north of me across the Mackinac Bridge into the UP. So for sure, it's been a great place to work and play. Hope to catch you another time. Have a great afternoon and a great weekend. K8, BCW.
Kilo Echo 8 Lima Alpha X-ray, testing a radio that I just updated.
It was a success. WADAP.
I don't know what radio he's on, but it sounds really nice and crisp, very clean. KE8MWN. KE8MWN. Mobile. On statewide 1.
Kilo Fox 8 Alpha Tango Charlie Root Miner,